Today on Rebooked.
And of course, everything Tony does in general distinctly looks and feels different than the rest of the show, and that matters.
And if you want to call yourself a business, the Hurt Syndicate, hello, businesses of coffee mugs.
Perhaps after the recent words of CM Punk, they're embarrassed by their baldness.
Yeah. Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Damn it, Stella. Come on. Back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the man and the woman slapping meat in the middle of the ring and the stories they be telling in the process, brother. I'm GB, you got Matt, you got Jake, and of course, as always, what do we have a fun show in store for you all today as we cover the latest and greatest in AEW, because AEW Revolution is happening this weekend, and myself and Jake are going to be there in person, and Jake's going to be in the nude. What's up?
Well, I might. We'll just see.
Depends. I'm glad you changed your mind from the other day.
Depends on how pricey I said I'm not going to be shirtless. Bottomless, okay. I'm fine.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I didn't realize I'll rock the difference. Okay.
I'll cool. Donald Duck it. No problem. Okay. I thought of a fun idea. On Sunday, when we are going to and are at Revolution, I'm taking over the Rebooked Instagram account.
Yes.
Oh, so, here we go again.
So watch for live updates and videos and all kinds of shit that I'll post of me and GB.
Okay.
At Revolution this Sunday.
And you can find
us on Instagram.
And the reason why you want to follow us on Instagram at Rebook Pod is because...
The bottomless
Jake has some good one-liners, man. Jake, you had some banger one-liners when we did TNA Rebellion and people were noticing. Okay. People were noticing. Yeah. Listen, Jake goes there to perform and I like watching. So it's a good time. In any case though, AEW Revolution is happening this weekend. We're super stoked about that. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. And by the way, if you haven't had a chance to check out our Wednesday episode, you should, as where we talk about everything that happened at Elimination Chamber. And we give our thoughts about what we think is going to be happening in the future of WWE. And there's a lot going on. But for now, we focus on AEW and AEW Revolution. Fellas, this is shaping up to be a damn good card. A damn good card. Lots of fantastic matches. But for the sake of conversation, we're going to breeze through some of the more, easier matches that we know
the
are
undercard,
like,
if you
yeah,
will.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Undercard. We'll like call all, it the all undercard. Great boxing shows, mixed martial arts shows, they have an undercard. They know what they are.
Exactly. And I realized that I'm a ding dong and didn't actually save the graphics unless Scan came up clutch and saved them. But no, he did not, because I'm a ding dong and I didn't save it. So let's go ahead and start with some of the more basic ones here. I'll see if this actually works. Pull this up. Yeah, perfect. That works. So we'll start with a very, very easy one that's super simple to kind of fly through here. This is a trios match. You got Orange Cassidy, Big Boom AJ, fresh off his foot injury, I would imagine, as well as Mark Briscoe going up against Johnny TV and MXM. It's just going to be a fun matchup. I think Orange Cassidy's going to win. Controversy. There we go.
We're I know. Hot take. Hot take. Red hot take from GB to start things off.
Yeah, nothing really to cover on that one.
Did they confirm? Does that show in the graphic? Is it on
it's
like
a zero
pre show?
Oh,
0 hour? Okay, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a 0 hour graphic. So, yeah. Is there another 0 hour one? No, it seems like that's the only one that will be saved for that, which is good. And I think that makes sense. This one, though, we could spend a second on just to talk about where we think things are going to go here. And that is, of course, our tag team championship matchup between the Outrunners and the Hurt Syndicate. Now, we'll just call it straight up, right? I think we all know where this is going straight out of the gate. Hurt Syndicate getting the win would be crazy otherwise. But I do like that this is very much putting a much needed breath of fresh air and a jumpstart into the AEW tag team division. It's nice to see a team not FTR in a tag team championship match, right? Am I alone on this?
No. And I embracing, they've been between Harley Cameron and the Outrunners embracing they're one thing I'll give AEW, they embrace out of the box characters that seem to be working. It's kind of reminds me of like OG, like Full Sail NXT days.
Yeah.
Of like, we're trying these colorful out of the box. Like, they're not the traditional wrestling archetype kind of thing. And if
but
they get
they
something
are,
that,
in a way,
but they are, yeah, especially in this case, they very much are in a roundabout way. But yeah, but then end up finding some kind of hook, and it might be a little silly on the surface, but people get into it, and then all of a sudden they get invested, and now we have some actual contenders. And so even again, even if it is a pretty, I think, obvious win, agreed, for Hurt Syndicate, it puts a spotlight, it elevates them, it shows that they're here to be contenders, and then going down the line, they can continue to kind of be in that top contention. And before I finish, can we go back to the match graphic?
Oh, yes. Give me 1 second. I was actually in the process of pulling up the next one. So you got me.
Sorry,
pants down. There you go. All right. What you got?
There's something that just, I don't, there's no logic to this that just makes me chuckle about two large jacked, and I'm talking about the Hurt Syndicate in this case, because everybody here is jacked, but large jacked men staring intimidatingly in wrestling tights, but then just happen to have baseball caps.
Perhaps
that's the good luck charm in my
perhaps
brain.
After the recent
hats.
Perhaps after the recent words of CM Punk, they're embarrassed by their baldness.
Fiend,
it's spreading.
The shame is spreading.
This invasive, invasive swine that is CM Punk this week.
I tell you, man, that guy, what a dick.
Flu.
What a dick. You know, I'm just going to come out and say it. Hot take, I know. CM Punk is a dick. Can't believe it. You know. All right. Well, look, I also think, like, just for me being a fan of like where things are going, and also to the point that you're mentioning about the hats. Something that has actually been, you know, is you're bringing up a very interesting point here. They're really trying to focus on the branding for Hurt Syndicate. They're really like being out there. Like, I actually followed MVP recently.
They're a business.
They're a business. Yeah. And it's silly, but like, I get it. You know, they're a business, and businesses have hats. You know,
well, then we're out of business.
I just want them to have matching polos like they went on a company retreat.
Yeah, dude, I want them to wear their suits with the hats
with their name monogrammed on it. That's what I want.
Whatever NPR gives away at pledge drives.
Yes.
I want them to feature different ones.
I just
want to
see. I want to see MVP come out with his company tote. That's all I want.
And you get
four for certain,
and you have like your pamphlet, you know what I mean? Coffee mug, and a little pamphlet.
This honestly, tag match brought to you by four imprint.
Guys, all I'm saying is that I actually think there's something here. And if you want to call yourself a business, the Hurt Syndicate, hello, businesses have coffee mugs. Businesses have hats. They have pens. Mm-hmm. They have stationery. So MVP, if you ever get sent this, okay, please make some stationery for the Hurt Syndicate. So that this way people know that you're a legitimate business.
I want them to
don't
be
hurt
like
me.
A step up from like when APA had their office in the back. Like, I want that. But for
I agree.
The Hurt Corp, a family corporation.
We inflict pain. Together. Mm-hmm. Synergy. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move forward to our next match. Now, this
we
one.
We make sure your business is a real pain.
Is a real. I feel like throughout the show, we should just come up with new slogans for Hurt Syndicate.
New slogans.
As time goes on. Yeah. That's right. You know, like pain only lasts for as long as you want it to. All right. This one
think
is.
Think painfully. Sorry, that's shocking.
Mercedes Moné versus Momo Watanabe. Jesus. All right. We're just
Mercedes
gonna,
next.
Yeah, Mercedes. And look, we're just going to say it again. We've been saying it a bunch. It needs to stop. Enough's enough. I can't. We got to move on from this. I like the Joshi wrestlers. I'm a big fan of, you know, like the Stardom and New Japan and the women's division and like what they're doing out there. It's just not hitting in the U.S. the way that they wanted to. And putting these awesome wrestlers in title matches, just it really detracts from the rest of the division. It just does. It's kind of it kind of forced the entirety for good, honestly, but it forced the entirety of the women's division to form tag teams. You know, like everyone's fucking a tag team in the women's division right now, which is awesome. But there's no women's tag title. So that doesn't really like help all that much. You know, maybe you get rid of the trios titles and we're talking here. And then you have Mercedes Moné, who's like in just another one shot match. Like the Harley Cameron one made sense, you know, but this
one, you can't beat just one. Sorry. That's the last one. I just came to my head.
Bet you can't beat just one.
That's bet right. You can't beat just one.
Hurt that's syndicate.
It. Okay.
We sorry. Hurt people. But yeah, like, you know, I don't, there's not much else to say. I just feel like I, as a fan of Mercedes,
I want more from her.
Yeah.
I want more from her. Yeah. She,
I'm over this shit.
She feels bigger than what she's doing.
Yeah.
And that's not to disparage the people that she's had matches with and feuds with, but like,
but the thing is that she hasn't really had anything that I can remember. The only thing that I remember is Willow. And that was
the only thing. Yeah.
And that was off of an accident, you know, an injury that then was used into an angle, which was like, cool. But then, you know, after that, everyone went into disarray. So I don't know. But yeah, Matt, anything you wanted to add on this? I know I kind of rambled.
It's another, it feels like it's a personal checklist maybe for Mercedes. This is somebody I want to wrestle.
Yeah.
Company made it happen. And like, that's, it's a cool personal, like whether it's a, you know, dream match or ideal match, but it forces the narrative. And again, we're here about narrative. If you're just down for a great wrestling match, you'll be very happy.
Exactly. Like that's the other thing I do want to make very clear in that, Jake, and sorry, I saw you were going to say something, but like, we just like storylines. So they're just nothing with Mercedes Moné in the last like few months has had any semblance of story whatsoever. She shows
outside
up
outside of Harley Cameron.
Yeah. Outside of Harley Cameron, which was a Harley Cameron story, not a Mercedes Moné story. And cause that story is still going on. So it's like, well, you see Mercedes, she does her interview. She says she's a CEO. She says a couple things and then someone shows up and then confronts her. And then, oh my God. And then a title match is set for a pay-per-view in a faraway land. And that's basically how each of these things have gone. Jake, what were we going to say? Sorry.
I would be interested in some kind of storyline of someone coming to Mercedes and just being like, I know what you're doing. You're stat padding.
Yeah.
You're not,
that'd be cool.
You're boosting.
Yeah.
You know, like you're going against, like, no offense to these people, scrubs, and you have not had any real competition. And I want someone to come along and say that to her and be like, you're just doing this to inflate your ego and to make it look like you're bigger than you are. But I know what you are. You're a fraud.
Yeah.
And prove to me that you're as good as you say that you are, because you haven't.
And you know who'd be good in this role? Camille. She would have been awesome in this role. Cause like, I'm not really seeing it right now, you know? And I guess this is kind of like a bigger issue of like, the women's division is like really good in some respects, but then in other aspects, it's like, it can be even better, but it's like not, because it's being like held up by certain things. And I just really would like to see it move forward. That's just all I would like to see move forward. The belt comes off of Mercedes Moné in some capacity. Maybe we retire trios titles and we get the freaking women's tag team titles, which I think would be very good. For in the
this company, I think it would be good.
Moving forward to our next matchup, we have MJF versus Hangman Adam Page. This is a big one. Big one
in a steel cage.
This is a steel cage. Isn't it? No, that's Kyle Fletcher. Willing. So the interesting thing about this pay per view is you have three really big blood matches, like blood feud matches. Right. Let me see if I could flick through this real fast. You have Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher steel cage match. We'll just talk in a second. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong graphic. And then Swerve Strickland versus Ricochet. But you have three massive blood feud matches, and then your biggest blood feud is ending, or not blood feud because it's for the belt, but like your biggest like feud is ending at this one as well. So there's like a lot of shit happening. There's a lot of shit happening here. Let's talk about this. MJF, Hangman, Adam Page. Who benefits more narratively from a win out of this one?
Hangman.
Hangman?
I think Hangman's character's been more complex. I mean, because he's kind of like he's been like a really like head case of a heel lately, right?
He's been confusing.
And he's been put, yeah, and he's been put in this spot with MJF, who's clearly the heel in this scenario. I mean Hangman's getting cheered. I think this can give us some clarity and direction with Hangman that he hasn't really had since Swerve, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I think Hangman can best benefit from this match narratively. Maybe I'm wrong. Matt seems to think I'm wrong. Matt.
No, I'm trying to think. I'm kind of on the fence about it. Is like sometime like Hangman's a new quote unquote baby face again. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just very specific. I don't know. Like you could go either way. Sometimes it's better to lose, and that you have that. If the people don't like that decision, it kind of gets more sympathy on your side. Mm-hmm. It gets more people wanting to see that turned around because he is a new baby face.
Yeah.
So like maybe getting some sympathy on him in a way.
I mean, MJF tried to light his ass on fire.
That's true. So, that's why at first I'm like, I'm surprised they didn't. I thought they were going to make this like a street fight or something.
I did too.
Match or something. But maybe we'll get there. You know, maybe that'll be like an all in thing in Texas or whatever. But
this is definitely like the restart of like or like the sequel to a feud that has already happened before. I mean, these two guys have fought like a few times now.
Sure.
But they're definitely like defining talent of the roster currently. Like these are your these are some of your top guys. I mean, what's funny is go for it, Jake.
No, sir. I was just going to say what's interesting to me about this story is that it's actually, I think it's actually kind of complex because they're both they have been heels recently, right?
Yeah.
And this seems to be more about, I'm not the person that I wish that I was. And I wish other people saw the person that I wish that I was, because MJF is clearly getting under his skin that the fans don't take to him like he thinks that they should, right? Yeah, yeah. And that they just seem to naturally gravitate toward Hangman. And so it's this fun dichotomy of like, why don't you see me the way that I should? And instead of trying to be this better version of himself, MJF is like, okay, I'll just destroy the idol you love. And while Hangman is kind of still trying to figure out who the hell he is now, like is how it feels. So I think that that's why this feels like the start of something bigger for both of them, maybe in extending this feud or whatever. But I think this is because they're both, this has shown them to be more complex characters than maybe people thought at the beginning of this feud. So I think they're both going to benefit narratively from this story.
Yeah.
But I think Hangman might benefit a little more from it, unless we see some kind of big shift in MJF. If MJF just like, you know, maybe he doesn't have the killer instinct that he thought that he did, and he loses to Hangman because of it, or you know, I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
Yeah. Well,
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think no. That's it. I think Jake, you sold me. You got to use car back there. You need to offload too, man. I might just buy it.
I agree with what you're saying for sure, Jake. What were you going to say, Matt?
Just that. The one thing I could see coming up. Sometimes I like to think in like headlines or coming out of these things, like what would matter, what would branch off into something else. And Hangman's thing, almost like his not calling card, but I feel like the thing that they've kind of latched onto is, Hangman is real, right? That mm-hmm. was the promo. I am real. I am the most real thing in this company, this business kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, not so explicitly implying MJF is the opposite. You're not. You're all phony. You're all flash. You're all talk. That's literally how you've defined your career. you've won a lot, but like he's a lot of pomp and talk and BS. And so like that, I can feel it could be a great jumping off point. Hangman wins. Hangman is real. Like that's the headline I see. And MJF is fucking pissed and like needs to find a way to shatter, to truly shatter that vision. And maybe he goes on this case of like, real, you're a psychopath, whatever it is. And like goes on this crazy, his own crazy torrent to try to beat him. And maybe that leads to another matchup. I do think there's could be a lot more with these two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think there could be some really interesting self-discovery from them character wise on this, you know, on this journey.
Yeah. And that's what makes it that's what has made it really exciting to follow these guys, like both of these guys in particular, because MJF, when he came back, he was doing the Triple H thing. He had, you know, the jacket. He was doing the whole gimmick. It was really funny. And and, you know, like there was like this you could tell like there was this like weirdness about it where it was like, this good guy MJF isn't really hitting the same way. Right. And I definitely think that, you know, the feud with Ospreay was perfect because it kind of like justified him going back to Dan Garcia, you know, thing, the turn, if you will. And even when you think back to like this week, like the one thing that has like defined MJF is that stupid ass ring. And I'm actually curious if they're going to do something with it, because that was the thing that laid out Hangman on Dynamite. So, you know, we'll see what happens from here. But this is giving me very much CM Punk, Drew McIntyre of last year type vibes, where it's like, this is just part one of this like journey I think that both of these men are going to go on with their characters. And I think coming out of the other side of it is going to be Hangman Adam Page that is as over as he's ever been and ready to take the main event spot the way that, you know, they wanted to. Because, you know, I mean, I called, he was the first man to challenge for the title. You know, they've hedged a lot of bets on this guy for a really long time. And he's awesome. So it's definitely deserved. All right. Next one. This is another incredible blood feud that is built over the last few weeks, Swerve Strickland versus Ricochet. I mean, what more, like, again, we talk about the blood feuds. We talk about how they've built these up. This has been a character defining feud. While the other one, I think, is a career defining feud for MJF and for Hangman, this is a character defining feud for Ricochet, in my opinion. Ricochet has been the most interesting that he's ever been. And you know, and I'm a big fan of his, but he always needed that character edge and he was always kind of missing it. And now, Jake, he finally got it. He finally found a little bit of his voice, and it's still going, but like it's helped the story so much. Where now the question, I guess, for this, Jake, is who do you see winning, and does it hurt or harm Ricochet? Like, do you think that this is just step one for him as well?
I think Swerve's probably the one who's going to come out on top of this. I mean, because I'm just trying to think of it from a perspective of, okay, well,
what's coming up?
Okay, this is for number one contendership, and looking at who could be the AEW champion after Sunday, my guess is that we're probably going to see Swerve in the middle of this. I don't think that it necessarily means, I don't think a win or loss for Ricochet in this scenario means that this feud is ending, though. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Swerve wins this.
Yeah.
And then when he gets his title shot, that Ricochet ruins it.
Yeah.
I could easily see that happening. You know, which kind of makes me lean toward Mox a little bit coming out on top on Sunday, but we'll talk about that more later. But I'm only thinking that now because I'm trying to do
I have a different theory, you know? But I see where your head's at for sure.
Yeah. So I don't think, I mean, I, look, the fact that Ricochet's in this position to begin with and the fans are behind him now, because I don't think they necessarily were to start out, because Ricochet was trying to figure out who he is within AEW,
yeah,
and who his character is. And now that he's, you know, kind of got a this touchstone, this foundation of a character, he's just kind of rolling with it. So I think this is only the beginning for Ricochet, but it kind of, I just feel like we're going to end up seeing Swerve in this position.
I agree on Swerve winning. I think Swerve wins this match. Makes the most sense. But if Ricochet wins, that would be a really fascinating, like, wrench.
Sure.
Because what the hell you do from there? Matt, what do you make of it?
I'm pretty much on the same page. I mean, I think Ricochet is clung on to something. I think he's still figuring it out, really, at the end of the day. I think it's still very new. Some of it, I think, really hits well. Some of it, I think, doesn't. But he's got something to play with here for the first time in a long time. But
that works for his character.
True.
Because I've seen a lot of people online being like, oh, Ricochet's so annoying. That he's doing his job. That's what he's supposed to do.
Kind of the point. Yeah.
That's exactly the point. Is just for he just feels like this pestering little brother, who just keeps annoying his older brother and thinks he's got an upper hand on him and just keeps like, I don't know. He feels like who we think Logan Paul is.
Yeah, honestly, yes.
And I think that's what he's going for. But I just still think there's a little bit of like, he's a little bit of room to grow, as in like, just like the rooted conviction in the things. Right now, it feels very surface level of like, I know the things to say to annoy people and everything. Like he's a smart guy.
But there's
that second level, that gut level of like, oh yeah, this is who this person is. Like Swerve's found that.
And I was going to say,
I don't think Ricochet's found that.
And I was going to say that I think that though. And to the point that you were saying about how that. The more reps he gets, the clearer that this is worked out. Right. Like the more that he is out there, like talking and on the mic, like the Prince Nana promo, I thought was really good. Like he would have never had gotten that freedom to do that in WWE. Like he just wouldn't have, because that's just not like a WWE thing to do, especially not now. You know, like it's very clear that in WWE, there's like they're following rigid narrative storylines, and they're kind of like, you know, mixing and matching as they go along. Whereas here, it's definitely more of a, you know, they're feeling it out kind of vibe, right? That's how come you were able to get the Outrunners and their character development the way that it happened, right? It's why you're able to get Harley Cameron and the way that her character is developing. So there are pros and cons to both, but I definitely think Ricochet has benefited immensely
100%
from this
100%
from this format, and it works very well for him. So,
and this match is gonna bang.
It's gonna be a good match. The main event of Dynamite was so good. It was insane. You had Swerve and Brody freaking King going up against Okada and Ricochet in a tag match. And it was so good. And the brief moment that you had of Ricochet and Swerve where they were just dancing back and forth, trying to see who could get the upper hand in the maneuver. Oh, dude, it was amazing. I'm so stoked for this. Jake, we're going to be there live watching that. I'm so happy about that. Okay.
Check us out on Instagram.
That's right. Rebook Pod. Follow it up. All right. So that is, we have more blood feuds because this, let me tell you, this is one show that's loaded with a ton of blood feuds. And the next one, though, is honestly, this is a blood feud worthy of the stipulation. It is going to be Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher. Steel cage match. These two men hate each other. They've been fighting each other for months on end. Kyle Fletcher, the former protege of one Will Ospreay, part of United Kingdom, all that stuff. Mark Davies is kind of getting thrown into the story a little bit more. This is definitely more Don Callis bullshit. And this is going to be a good one. How the hell does Will Ospreay do a cage match? Because I really want to know. Damn.
What do you mean, how's he do a cage match?
I mean, his man's insane.
Like one leg at a time, right?
No. What I'm saying is like, you know, Will Ospreay matches are just so freaking fast, and he's doing like a million things. And now you give him the advantage of walls. And it's like, you could do even more. You know,
you're also a little, you know, contained. There's no dives. You really can't, you can hit the ropes, but you can't like totally like go nuts against them like you normally. Well, depend. I don't know what AEWs use a few different cages, but depends on what the spacing is. But you're a little more contained.
It's crypto, so it's pretty big.
Think about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. But like,
I think we're going to see, I mean, I bet Will does a hidden blade off the top of the cage.
Oh, will he?
Yes, he will.
You deserve. You see, you get mad about people making puns, and then you say some
hurt
something
it
like
your
that.
Way.
Hurt. Oh, damn. That is a good one.
I forgot it.
That is a good one. We have not forgotten. Hurt it your way. Yeah. So who now? This one. This is weird,
maybe
right?
He's because born with it. Maybe it's hurt.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, challenge. If you're listening and you made it this far in the pod, come up with your best Hurt Syndicate business tagline. Give us your best Hurt Syndicate tagline. Go. We will read the best ones next week. Okay, we will read the best ones next week. We have to. All right. Yeah. So go nuts. And if you're listening and you're a part of the Discord, which you should join our Discord, you should also do that there too. All right. Who's winning this one though? I'm gonna say it's gonna be Kyle Fletcher. I think Kyle Fletcher's gonna win. It benefits his character way more. He you know, Will Ospreay does not need another win. It is not necessary for him. We've already established that Will is the GOAT for AEW right now, so we're just gonna leave it at that. That's my perception though. What do you guys say? You think it's just gonna be another low Will Ospreay wins?
I'm so Ospreay conflicted wins. I'm very conflicted.
Ospreay was laid out at the end of Dynamite. It means he wins on Sunday. That's classic. You just sometimes, so yeah. AEW does a lot of things different. Sometimes you just got to go to old school rules. And if the whoever gets laid out on the go home episode, I know there's Collision, but I don't think they're doing anything on Collision from what I read. Yeah. But yeah, so laid out on the show before means you're winning at the pay-per-view. Yeah. That's where I'm going today.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it simple.
I mean, I find it hard to believe that in a situation where we have a steel cage and no one from the Don Callis family can get inside, that one-on-one Will Ospreay doesn't come out on top, beating Kyle Fletcher's King Joffrey looking ass here.
It's amazing.
I think it's going to be it's going to be another incredible match.
It'll be another banger.
The element of the steel cage. They're going to do some stupid shit and I'm here for it. Well, yeah. I'll be there for it, but I'm very excited about it. But I'll take Will. I'll take Will.
Yeah. I think you guys are right. Will makes the most sense. I just want to see Kyle win because I think that
I agree. Kyle needs it more than Will.
I do think, yeah, Kyle benefits big from a win.
I don't know the story. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
But you know what though? You know what I was thinking about though? I was thinking like, oh, because you know, it'd be nice to see Kyle kind of get inserted into the TNT title picture. But the thing is, that's very much Garcia and Cole right now. Like they're kind of circling around one another. They had their first. And I think I forgot how it ended, but I think it was like a disqualification or I don't remember. Something happened. So I don't know. We'll see. Because Kyle Fletcher versus Danny Garcia for the TNT title would be sick. So him getting a big win coming out of this and then declaring like he wants gold, I think would be kind of cool. And then him having already beaten or tied, I don't remember, Danny Garcia in the Continental Classic. I kind of would like to see that get paid back. Unless they already did, and I'm not remembering, but yeah, that's where I'm at with that. But anyway, that's going to be another great matchup. We'll see where that one goes. And now, of course, we have another one of these preliminary matches where we're going to kind of just like run through real fast. This one's going to be a good one. Of course, Kenny Omega, Konosuke Takeshita for the International Championship. I would imagine that this is Kenny Omega, right? This just feels like it's all like the freaking event. He was the one waiting, and I'm gonna be this is where I'm gonna have my gripe. I have a gripe. And my gripe is that the way that they had set this up was just silly, in my opinion.
How so?
So Kenny pinned Takeshita in Australia. And then because of that, Kenny was the one waiting for the end of the international series to conclude, which was the first match, Roddy versus Orange Cassidy. And then the second match was, instead of Orange Cassidy versus Kenny Omega, it was Orange Cassidy versus Takeshita. And if Takeshita had won, or if Orange Cassidy had won, then he would be the international champion, and then he would fight Kenny Omega at Revolution. But Kenny Omega had just been waiting at Revolution the whole time.
and the champion was the one.
Now look, I'm not, guys, this match is gonna slap in ways that I can't even possibly conceive, and it's gonna be so good. But we're a podcast about the story, so we gotta call spade for a spade, and this sucked. It wasn't particularly great.
A little bit, yeah. It was a little funky.
I think this is setting up a future story, though.
Yes.
Between these two?
No.
Further? Oh, okay.
Do I need a graphic?
Sure.
Fantasy booking! Hit us with it, Jake.
Here's my prediction. I think Kenny's going to win this one.
Okay.
The other element that could very much be at play, who can't do anything in the cage match, is the Don Callis family. How are they going to get involved? And I think there's a chance that we could see the winner of the Osprey Fletcher match get involved in this. I think there's a chance. Maybe the Don Callis family comes out, or someone from Don Callis family comes out to help out Takeshita. But then here comes Will, because they just had that, tag match together. Maybe Will loses his match, and Fletcher comes out to help Takeshita, and so Will follows him out, helps him, and then Kenny wins the title, and then we're going to see a unification match between Kenny Omega
and Okada. Yeah, right.
And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Cause I think that, like,
cause All In's next, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the next paper? I mean,
July though, right?
Now I don't know.
Unless it's Dynasty. Or is Dynasty in August? I don't remember exactly. But I will say that for me, given everything that has transpired, right?
Dynasty's in April.
In April, okay. So given everything that has transpired.
And then Double or Nothing in May.
From Kenny Omega's return to where he gave the Continental Championship to Okada, which was like silly and still is. But, when you think about it, it was like, oh, well, there's something there. And then they kind of just like forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then like Okada's kind of just been, doing his matches right now. He's been having matches with the members of the Hounds of Hell, which is cool. Yeah, I think we're finally getting it.
I'm going to Jake's idea. I originally had my original layout was between the Fletcher and Ospreay match and this match, the results were going to be inverse because they both had Don Callis. I'm like, so if Kyle wins the cage, Kenny wins the title, or if Takeshita retains, Will win the cage. But I think there's a world where we see the Don Callis family having a great night.
As
a way to reestablish them. But
they're really trying to reestablish them. Really trying to, narratively. Yeah.
But kind of along the lines of what Jake's saying, especially depending on match order, obviously.
Yep.
I'm going to assume the cage match is going to be later. I'm going to assume this match is earlier on. We get Don Callis family interference. Will Ospreay makes the save and pays the price for it. via Murder Machines or Mark Davis or Kyle doing something nasty to him will help, but ends up getting taken out on the outside. Kenny wins. Holy crap. Will is going into the cage, a wounded bird.
Yeah.
Kyle takes advantage, brutalizes Will. Will fights valiantly to a banger of a match, but is fighting on one leg.
Yeah.
Kyle. And then Will could be gone for a month or two. You know what I mean? Like he takes Will out to a certain extent, maybe till July.
Yeah. And then Kyle Fletcher can go around saying, I'm the man who took out Will Ospreay, right? Yep. The same way that Takeshi was, you know, Don Callis was going around saying, he beat Kenny Omega, you know, two times in the same week. You know, like that was it was a thing that they hold on to. Yeah, I think you guys are right. Ooh, that's going to be fun.
Either way, we're going to have crossover with these two matches, I think. It just, it's involving people from a feud that just took place, you know?
Yeah. And I think that if they continue to do nothing with the Continental Championship for a while, then I could see them, doing the, doing the merger, because it just now it just doesn't make any sense. Like Okada's championship just doesn't make any sense in the scope of the shows. It doesn't make any sense. It's a weird little place. Does not fit. It feels like it was a belt that was supposed to be made for CM Punk in the soft brand split, and it's okay. I would like it to move on so that we don't have so many belts on the show. And then this way we can get a women's tag title. That'd be really nice. All right.
Oh, speaking of CM Punk, and this is still technically related to AEW and you know, the bald fraud bit. CM Punk, I know his ass isn't talking about carrying around a fake belt.
I saw that.
You know what I mean?
I saw people commenting on
you
that.
Can't, yeah. I mean...
With the big X title that he had.
Yeah.
Like
the real world champion.
Punk.
Here is one of our big main event matchups. And this is Jon Moxley versus the Rated R Superstar. Hope. Going to be a good one as well, because this has been I've enjoyed this. In the beginning, I wasn't a believer. And then as it went on, I became a believer. And what I liked was the reasoning, right? I enjoyed how this came about, because one of the things that we constantly yapped about was the Death Riders keep interfering. The Death Riders keep interfering. It's getting annoying. It's getting to the point where it's like taking away from a lot of these matches and so on and so forth. And it turns out that Adam Copeland agreed. It felt the exact same way, but he decided to take it into his own hands and murk motherfuckers as time went on. And that actually leads us to our first custom graphic for this one. Cope, who just absolutely wipes out all the Death Riders. But there was an interesting development that happened on Dynamite this past weekend, because the final Death Rider to go down was Wheeler Yuta. But it was not in the manner that we thought. He did not concerto the young man. Instead, he shook his hand in the middle of the ring. And then the rest of Death Riders, I think Jon Moxley like got really pissed about that.
He did. Very, very mad.
Yeah.
He sees a breakup coming.
So that kind of goes to what we were talking about, Jake, earlier. This whole story started with them placing that bag over his head and Wheeler losing his shit and not sure what he was going to do and blah, blah, blah. And now it looks like it's finally coming to fruition. Or are we coping? Ha
I don't know. I think
Cope Syndicate.
I think the Cope Syndicate.
Sorry.
I think Mox is about to learn that it is better to have death ridden and lost than never to have death ridden at all. And he's going and his young Padawan, I think, gets involved in the match.
Yeah, right.
I think we see a title change at Revolution. I think Cope wins the title, but maybe just for a little bit.
So I have thought about this. I have thought about this, and I would like to do a quick fantasy booking. It's going to be a quick couple sentences.
Oh, my God. I just had an idea, too. Go ahead.
Fantasy booking. Hold on a second. So I'm just going to say this real fast, okay? I can see a world where Cope wins. Mm-hmm. And we're good. Death Riders are done. Mission accomplished. And here's the thing. Swerve Strickland's going to win the number one contender spot. And guys, we're going to get Cope versus Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship at Dynasty. I think it's going to happen because Dynasty is where Swerve Strickland won the World Championship last time. And I think he could very well do it again here, at least in his mind. But you see, the problem is that Ricochet's a little bitch and he's going to do everything in his power to prevent that from happening. And while he's in the process of doing that, maybe he works out a little deal with the patriarchal devil and he gets himself his world championship. And coming out of Dynasty, we get Christian walking away as champion or whenever that match happens, maybe not Dynasty, but whenever that match happens, I don't know if he's going to cash in at Revolution, but if he does, it would be hype as shit because we're going to be there and it's going to be awesome. But if he doesn't, I'm not going to be mad about it. Jake, what do you got?
May I pitch an idea?
Please do.
No.
Okay. That was hurtful.
Man. That was mean.
That was hurtful. I don't get to go to the pay-per-view this weekend. I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Matt. Sorry. You just get to go do wrestling every week. But, oh, you know, we just got to deal with this. No, all right. Go for it.
I think what could be fun is, oh, man. Okay, so Wheeler gets involved in the match and helps Cope win.
Yeah.
And Cope wins the title. But here's the thing. Wheeler's still distraught. He's still, you know, he feels he's a boat adrift. He doesn't know his direction. He needs guidance, right? Or he feels that he needs guidance. So Cope wins the title with the help of Wheeler Yuta, and he comes up and shakes his hand at the end of the match yet again. And Wheeler Yuta kicks him right in the balls.
Ooh,
and I like down this. Comes Wheeler's new father figure.
Oh, no.
Who cashes in and wins the title.
Yeah.
So he turns like twice in one night. Babyface.
Twice to help in a kill, night. Babyface.
Heal yeah. again.
Yes. Heal to babyface because, back to because heal people, in the same night.
People like cheering against Wheeler. So I don't know if they want to like change that yet because like people are in like, you know, he's definitely.
Oh, on Dynamite, they were chanting Yuta, Yuta mm-hmm. when yeah. Mox was berating when
Mox
him.
Was me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But they, but like, they also, you know, like when Wheeler does some messed up stuff, they chant, you know, like, fuck you, Wheeler. Like they go crazy.
Of course.
So what I think a double turn would be so funny. That would be amazing.
I think it would be incredible if it happened.
Matt, do you agree or disagree?
I'm not saying
disagree?
It's going to happen, but I'm saying it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, where do you think it goes, Matt?
I think we could get a triple turn is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. We gotta stop.
I mean, well, no, because in theory,
enough.
Yes, he walked away from Mox, right? But he didn't, like, turn. So we could show up at Revolution, stand next to Mox. I got your back, right? The tease almost. So he's still a heel.
Yeah.
Has the briefcase or whatever, refs down, goes to swing it at Cope, hits Mox. There's the first turn. Then, oh, wait, no. So no, I was thinking, starts as a heel, then goes babyface, then ends as a heel. So it's two turns still, but yeah. He still starts as
well. What would be a real big heel. Turn would be if then Christian comes out. And then he's like, oh, he's going to cash in. And then Wheeler decides, no, I'm Thanos. I'm going to snap everything. So all this doesn't matter. Death Riders doesn't matter. The contract doesn't matter. The patriarchy doesn't matter. He just destroys everything. And Wheeler Yuta turns out to be Galactus.
And then here comes the money. Finally! Finally.
Oh, man. There are so many bad directions this can go in. But that's course. Not one of them. That would be fun. That'd be stupid, but fun. Looking at this. So, look, I'm going to call
like
it.
We all feel like a couple changes happening, though.
I think Cope is winning. Yeah.
In some scenario. Yeah.
Yeah. Cope is winning. We thought Mox was going to lose in a freaking fatal four way. And that never happened. So I don't know.
That's true.
But Cope has been built up on this one quite nicely as well, which I think is an important thing that we haven't really discussed. If there's one thing that I will safely say, it's that, Cope is the guy right now in AEW. He's like the older statesman, but like you could definitely tell that everyone respects and loves him, and he comes out and the crowd pops and it's always the same. It's always the same reaction. So. Why not put the belt on the legend? Makes some sense. And it'd be cool. It'd be cool to see Adam Copeland hold gold again. That would be dope. I think that'd be super sick. The TNT run was awesome, but he's definitely a world champion guy. So be really cool. All right. Well, there you have it. We say Cope. What do you guys say in the comments? We want to hear from you.
Do you say Cope or do you say Nope?
Yeah. Cope or Nope.
Cope or Nope.
Cope or Nope.
Cope or Nope.
Let us know. Cope or Nope. And while you're at it, throw some mate. Our last matchup. And again, every single time that these two women are on the card, it is going to be a giga banger. And that is, of course, Toni Storm, your AEW Women's World Champion, going up against Mariah May, the former Women's World Champion.
In a Falls Count Anywhere match.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
The Hollywood ending. Everything we say this every time we talk about this, but it just needs to be said again. Everything about this feud has been fucking money from the get-go, from the first, from everything. Like it just the way that it all got to this point, the evolution of Toni Storm's character to the timeless character, her finding the wandering duckling in Mariah May. The story that came from there, the relationship that blossomed, Mariah May's title run as well. I mean, Matt, you genuinely couldn't have asked for a better marquee feud for your Women's World Championship.
I mean, it's been one of the best things in wrestling for the last better part of the last year.
Which is crazy because we remember we were talking about Liv and Rhea and we were like, this is so good. This is so good. And then that like lost steam. But how did this one maintain? I mean, I'll tell you why. I'll give you my perspective. It's shit like this.
Involved.
It's shit like this.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just there was funny.
Also, to be totally fair, they also had the benefit of a break after Mariah won. Mm-hmm. Tony was nowhere to be seen for 5 months or so.
Yeah.
So she kind of just had free reign. It kind of took a pause. And then it was like side quest time. And then it was time to do the main story again.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was exactly that. Like the promos and stuff like that. It's visually stunning. It's distinct from the rest of the show. It stands out. Even we talk about being production nerds. Everything they've done, and of course, everything Tony does in general, distinctly looks and feels different than the rest of the show. And that matters, especially for a character like that. And that promo from Bette after the attack was great. Looked almost like it was shot and color graded by whoever did 2001 A Space Odyssey. It was just like, it was very like pale, muted, like neutral colors. And like, it wasn't bright. It didn't look like it was like HD. It looked very like, again, muted. It was great. And then yes, this from this past week on Dynamite, further, Mariah's broken. Like she, her brain, it keeps going from like distinct rage to like, love me, mommy energy.
Yeah.
And I'm, and then Tony's just back to like,
this feels
Charlotte.
It was great. Felt like an HR meeting to me a little
bit. Oh God, it was so funny.
That's how it kind of felt. Like Renee felt like she's the, okay, we have a workplace dispute.
Yeah.
And we need to resolve.
But what was great is that it started off with Mariah May just hawking a loogie right onto Tony. And then Tony going,
she didn't flinch.
I see you still care about me.
Yeah.
It's just so good. It was so good. And one thing I am also going to, I think, come back around on was we talked about how Mariah May, you know, really needed to like continue to develop the character, and we wanted to see more. And I would definitely say that Mariah May is just bringing it. She's just bringing it. It's this anger, the like she is mad because she got, you know, and it is so good how it's playing out. And she's playing this character to perfection. So, yeah, I really love all of this. Where does it go? Who's winning? Who is walking away? I feel like we kind of have to give it to Tony, but I want to know what you guys think.
Yeah, Tony stays storming. Tony, you know, the Hollywood, it's a happy ending. That's what a Hollywood ending is. It's a happy ending. Save the sad ones for indie films. Come on now. That's what the Independent Spirit Awards are for, folks. No, this is an Oscar winning time. And I think so. She just won it back. I think there's a lot of people that could challenge Tony from the women's roster, like we were talking about before. And I think Mariah has a chance to take the loss and then, you know, go on a big tear, you know, take a little time away and then go on a big tear after that, maybe with a little bit of a refocused character.
Yeah.
After this breakdown that, you know, Tony Storm has caused her over the last year. So I think it's pretty clear cut, but that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is, I think, quite clear cut in that regard, Jake. I think like it would be silly for them to give it back to Mariah May. But yeah, what were you going to say? Sorry.
I mean, this match is going to be so much fun. It's falls count anywhere. I like as creative as these two are outside of the ring. I can't wait to see the crazy shit that they get into in this Falls Count Anywhere match.
I am praying to the creative gods. This match is rife. It doesn't have to be everything, but like, I don't want them to just like walk around swinging like cookie sheets and chairs. This needs to have like specific props. We need
Tony to have made a Hollywood Walk of Fame star with her name on it. That she
yes, I want a Hollywood sign like backstage or near the entrance ramp that they go through. Or again, they may not have the budget for all of it, but we need themed. What this is like
a at the very least, I need the slipper. I need the shoe. We need like a steel toed shoe of some kind, something that would, you know, kind of tie this up in a pretty bow. You know, I think would be really sick.
But as far as who's winning, I don't know if you notice, but I'm not wearing a watch. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because I'm feeling timeless.
Ooh, child.
Tony Storm is going to retain and continue to be our AEW Women's World Champion.
Yeah. 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 I agree. I think that what we're going to get out of this is literally the Hollywood ending. It's going to be a cool end to the feud.
She has home field advantage.
And you know, man, look, all I'm saying is if we don't get
Australia to now Hollywood, this is I mean,
do you know how many casting directors she banged in that area? Like that feels like a Tony timeless Tony Storm kind of thing. You know how many men, you know, how many directors I've betted on these streets?
Oh man. I gotta say the director, cause she's got her movie coming out.
Director was great.
I gotta watch it. It looks fun. But yeah, the bit with the director was great. Cause he was just like talking normally. And then I don't know where she shows up and she was like, oh, darling, I'm so sorry. And it was like, oh, this is brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like everyone understands the assignment. This Tony Storm is a gem. Absolutely amazing. The narrative queen, like the reason why this show, I think, why I like shows like this is because of Tony Storm. Literally, she's just makes great TV. All right, well, that is AEW Revolution. Of course, we want to hear what you guys have to say. Let us know in the comment section down below. Do you agree with us? Do you think that we're going to be seeing, oh my God, my topics are all over the place here. Do you think that we are going to be seeing some title changes? Do you think that we're going to be seeing some big moments? It's a massive show. Of course, we want to hear from you. Sound off in the comment section down below. That, of course, brings us to our final section of the show. a new segment. Of course, it is Jake's Retro Rimage.
The name of this segment sounds like it's old VHS cam footage of Jake farting.
Yeah, that's where it started. Retro
that probably exists somewhere.
It has to be. It could be in a basement.
All right. Well, yes. Once again, for those of you who may be joining us for the first time, I found 12 packs of these babies in my old closet at my dad's house over Christmas this year. If you go into the episode spoilers channel in our Discord, you can vote every week on which pack you think I should open. And this week's winner is number 12. We're going to open this one, and I'm sure it's going to contain a lot of the same repeats.
There won't be any repeats that we've here. Seen.
No, not at all.
Except for this one right off the rip, no pun intended. We have Z-Man.
Let's go.
Z-Man, whose motto is stay single.
Tom Zink. That's right.
Who? Tom Zink.
I remember
who
Tom Zink. Yeah.
Wait,
Tom
do you really, or are you trolling?
I know the name. Like, he's like a bodybuilder and wrestler.
The former Mr. Minnesota.
Okay. Mr. Right Minnesota.
Z-Man. Did not expect. We got another Lex Luger.
Nice.
Of course.
All right. Another Steiner Brothers.
Nice.
Emphasis on Scott right here on the back.
Lovely, lovely.
Favorite Hall of Frankensteiner. Right.
Okay, sorry. Tom Zink is part of the Can-Am connection with Rick Martel.
Oh, that connection doesn't exist anymore.
We need
the connection.
We've got the Stinger.
Hey, love that.
Yeah, another good one. A man who's worried about his record going down in flames soon, thanks to a freshly healed John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Flair.
Ricardo Flair.
Yeah. Next one, we've got the Southern Boys.
Oh, the Southern Boys are back again.
I know. We've definitely had a Southern Boys. Sid, back in the mix.
I go see it. Or this is Sid Vicious. Mm-hmm. Sid Vicious. Different character.
Ooh, we got another Ric Flair.
Oh, okay. With the, it can only look like a table mat for a robe.
A little bit, yeah.
looking a little table matty there, Rick.
Like a grandma's curtains.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Like he saw those and was like, "Lady, I'm taking those curtains." Another Southern Boys here.
Oh,
different.
These different cards variant. Have a bad habit of listing a tag team, but then only showing one.
Only showing one person.
Yeah. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. It's like, is
we got another checklist
that Jake will not check off.
No, out of spite now. we got a flying Brian.
Nice.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm. And then the final card in this deck, in this pack, excuse me.
Gold plated. Arn Anderson.
Double A, baby.
Hey, I would have been sick gold plated. I'm pretty dope. Yeah. There you have it.
A little disappointing we didn't get another El Gigante. I'm just
saying. Yeah,
I know. It's been a staple.
It's been my favorite. It's a freaking crime. How many we have left?
How many packs do we have left?
Yeah, we have a few, right?
Brother, we got several.
Nice.
we have seven packs remaining.
Seven packs remaining. And if you want to vote
packs
on what will be the next, you know, Jake, we got to figure out something to do with these cards. We'll figure it out. If you have suggestions and you made it this far in the show, let us know in the comment section down below. We'd love to hear.
What should we do with the cards?
We'll figure it out. But I mean that's gonna do it for us here.
We're gonna get a booth at a WrestleCon and just autograph these and hand them out.
The dozens of fans would show up. All right, folks, that's it for us this week. A fun week of wrestling for sure. Good way to keep your mind off of things. So make sure, you know, just go ahead and enjoy some wrestling. We didn't get to cover, you know, like every thing that's been going on in AEW because there's been a lot, but we're Revolution around the corner. Oh boy, are you gonna have our hands full with that show? And then of course we'll be talking about all that good stuff on our Wednesday show. Thank you so much for tuning in yet again. If you haven't liked this, make sure you like, subscribe, and if you're watching this and listening to this on YouTube podcast or a different podcast platform, make sure you share it, let people know what's going on over here. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next week. Peace. Later.
America runs on hurting.
Ha 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 ha!